too.
Good.
The president wants to spy on 200 million Americans without a warrant. Has he read this document, which he was sworn to uphold?
Now, I will not have you libel Abraham Lincoln.
I don't understand the problem with registering guns. We register cars. Every nation has the right to self-defense under the United Nations Charter. Why shouldn't Israel exercise it?
Meet Mark Levine.
Good evening, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. The election is just 3 weeks away, and America faces perhaps its greatest financial crisis since the Great Depression. People are losing their homes, the foreclosure crisis has been gone on, and now the stock market has taken a huge tank, and a slight uptick doesn't change the fact that trillions of dollars have been lost. Congress has a bailout plan that it's passed. A lot of people are very fearful about the economy, and Barack Obama is some 6 to 8 points ahead in the polls. John McCain, the Republicans, have decided they don't want to talk about the economy. In fact, John McCain's campaign manager, Rick Davis, said if we talk about the economy, we lose the election. Instead, they want to talk about Barack Obama. And so they're building up all kinds of rallies, talking about associations, and trying every single way to call Obama basically a terrorist. But is that the right way to go? Should we be focusing on these negative attacks, or should we be telling the American people what's right for the economy? To answer these questions, I've invited a Republican strategist who's frequently on the show, Mike Lane, the head of Intellifant Strategies. It is his job to give intelligence to elephants. Mike, welcome again to the Inside Scoop.
Mark, pleasure to be back. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, Mike, let me ask you about what I guess I see as the implosion of your party. Here we are facing this dramatic crisis, and all your party can seem to come up with is negative attacks. Is that really the best your party has to offer?
Mark, you know, you want to talk about negative attacks. Obama has been running probably the most negative campaign I've seen in my recollection of presidential politics. I mean, his flagrantly false ad on health care is just about as disgusting. It's been panned by everybody. It's been banned by, Just the Facts or factcheck.org. It's been banned by or panned by Real Clear Politics. The fact of the matter is, you know, we're in that part where everything's at stake. Everybody is throwing everything they can against the wall to see what will stick and what won't. At this point, Barack has a slight edge on the whole thing. There's 23 days left in the campaign. It's three political lifetimes as these things are measured. I'm looking forward to the last 23 days and see what it brings.
Mike, here's where I draw the line. You know, campaigns, and it's not just presidential campaigns. You've been involved in a lot of campaigns. Congressional campaigns, local campaigns, they're always throwing facts at each other, fast and furious about each other's plans. Mm-hmm. You might not like what Obama says about McCain's health care plan. The same fact-check organizations will say that John McCain lies when he says that Obama would raise taxes. As you know, that's only if you make more than $250,000 a year. So they're both fast and furious with what they talk about each other's plans. In fact, if you go to politcheck.com, which is by the Congressional Quarterly, a nonpartisan organization, mm-hmm.
the same organization that called Obama the most liberal member of the United States Senate.
That was
right?
The National Journal.
Journal was owned by CQ, isn't it?
It's a different thing, right. And that was based on voting records because the National Journal, I think wrongly, decided that when you want to cut corruption, then you're liberal. I would think both parties want to cut corruption, but they decided only Democrats care about stopping corruption.
I think it had to do with tax increases and interference of government in the lives of people.
It was ethics. But here's the thing. When the charges are going fast and furious back and forth, as I said, Politcheck.com, if you look at it, you see there's a couple Obama ads they think aren't true, and there's scores of McCain ads they think aren't true. So on that score, I think we win. But I think my point is there's a limit. Talking about each other's tax plans, each other's health care plans, that's perfectly fair. That's politics. That's what I think Americans want to know about. They want to know about the issues. But your candidate, John McCain, and particularly his Barracuda, pit bull, or whatever you want to call her. These are names she calls herself, right?
Saracuda.
Sarah Barracuda. And Pitbull with lipstick. These are her names for herself.
A great American.
They're going out, and they're basically calling Obama a terrorist. And let me suggest to you...
No, they're not.
Let me suggest to you...
Now what they're doing
that
is they're saying he's associated with an unrepentant terrorist.
That there's a point beyond the pale, that it's perfectly fair to judge each other based on each other's health care or tax care proposals. But once you start accusing the nominee of the other party of palling around with terrorists, which is the exact quote that that Sarah Palin used, you've gone beyond the pale. And let me tell you, I'm not the only person that's saying this. Let me show you someone, very respected person, who worked in Republican and Democratic governments, I think more Republican ones, David Gergen. I think you have a lot of respect for him as a commentator.
He's had his moments. I think they're mostly past.
Let me see if I can show you. And I'm going to try to pull it up here. It's not easy to do. But I want to show you what he had to say, because he's someone who is, he worked for George Bush Sr., he worked for Ronald Reagan, he's worked for a lot of mainstream politicians.
He worked for Bill Clinton.
And he worked for Bill Clinton,
too. He went over the line and became a Democrat and worked for Bill Clinton.
He's hardly a Democrat. He's someone who will show, as this clip shows, if I can get it to play, he has a lot of respect for John McCain. But he doesn't respect where John McCain has gone with his campaign. He thinks that you've crossed the line, particularly when you're trying to lead to these kinds of angry rallies where people are shouting out all kinds of horrific things. It's interesting because my guess is that John McCain heard this clip by David Gergen and himself decided finally that he had gone too far. So let me see if I can play this clip for you. We're going to bring it up here in just a minute. Why don't you tell me your thoughts?
First of all, Gergen went over to the Democratic side when he worked for Bill Clinton. You know, he's no longer, you can't hold him up as a Republican icon because he's not a Republican icon, even though he did work for Ronald Reagan. Now, simple fact of the matter is, Barack Obama has this association with Bill Ayers that he has inadequately described.
Let's describe
what's
it.
Going on.
I'll
be glad to describe
it. I think we should be talking about the economy, but let's get it all on the table. There's nothing to hide here.
Right.
Okay, Bill Ayers was 40 years ago in a radical organization called the Weathermen, an organization that was so intent on stopping the Vietnam War that they decided to bomb. Without people, they didn't ever want to bomb people, but they bombed property. In fact, they bombed a statue twice, and their intent was eventually to even set up bombs in the Pentagon.
They bombed the Pentagon. Their intent. They did bomb the Pentagon, and I don't know how you can bomb the Pentagon and say you're not going to hurt people.
They gave warnings before each of the bombings. Look, I'm not justifying what they did. It was a radical organization 40 years ago.
Can we stipulate the fact that he's an unrepentant terrorist?
I think the answer is we can stipulate that today.
He's an unrepentant terrorist. He bombed the Capitol. Pentagon.
Instead of a terrorist,
the judge who was presiding over the trial of his buddies up in New York, he bombed that judge's house. Right after 9/11, he had himself photographed standing in a dark alley in New York, smashing the American flag into a grease thing, and said, "You know what? The only thing we did wrong was we didn't set enough bombs and try hard enough to stop all this stuff."
Here's the thing about Bill.
So he's an unrepentant terrorist.
Well, here's the thing about him. It's very interesting. After he never went to jail. He was never convicted. The government illegally spied on him, and the case was dismissed. And then he came out in 1980. He turned himself into the FBI with his wife, told them everything he'd done, and then he got a PhD, he became a very respected professor in Chicago.
Well, he's not all that respected. He's got some very wacky educational ideas. I wouldn't call him a respected professor.
Listen, he's not an advisor to Barack Obama.
He's a huge advisor to Barack Obama. He is...
That is the kind of vicious politics. You know he's not an advisor to Barack Obama.
No, he is.
They sat on a board together Nixon's ambassador and Reagan's ambassador, Walter Annenberg, put them on a board together.
Let's talk about the way this whole thing went down.
He's hardly an advisor to Barack Obama.
Annenberg didn't put them on a board together. Bill Ayers hired him to be chairman of the board.
That is false.
Bill Ayers hired him to be chairman of that board.
Pilatchek says that is Bill Ayers, pants on fire lie.
Pilatchek is wrong. Pilatchek is wrong.
That's
what happened.
False.
When Obama
Ayers
was starting his career,
him. Ayers
he
wasn't.
Did. Ayers controlled the foundation.
It's not true.
The foundation, but he hired Obama as the paid chairman of the group to launch Obama's career. That's the way the whole thing started.
That is 100% false, and that's the kind of slander that I'm talking about.
That's the way it happens, Mark. Look.
I will show you the nonpartisan. Here, look. Ayers didn't even have a vote on that board.
Ayers controlled the foundation.
No, it's Ant. Look.
No. Annenberg was an absentee funder on the whole thing. Ayers was.
Tell me this. Why is a Nixon and Reagan ambassador, a well-respected philanthropist like Walter Annenberg, allowing someone like Bill Ayers, Chicago's, by the way, Citizen of the Year in 1997, worked with Republicans, Democrats, and was highly respected until he did that 2001 thing, and obviously since then Obama hasn't talked to him except they ran into each other in a park.
That's not what Obama's campaign says, though. Obama's campaign says they're friendly. They're friendly. Obama says it's just some guy in my neighborhood, but Obama's consultant says, oh, no, they're friendly. That's what he said. That's a quote. They are very friendly. Not very. They are friendly. That's what his campaign consultant said.
Let's give the history.
That was before, of course, Ayers became an issue.
Well, no, like I said, he turned himself in the FBI. He got a doctorate. He teaches a kind of education reform that you may not like, but it doesn't teach terrorism. It teaches things like African American studies and all these things that Republicans think are really radical, but most Americans, I think it's okay to talk about blacks in American education.
I have no.
But I don't think it's a radical idea. But you know, Sarah Palin has called it radical.
Because he moves away from reading, writing, and arithmetic and starts teaching about things that are not important.
That's a different issue.
Millions of dollars that his foundation, that he directed the money spent, there is zero evidence that it improved the test scores of any single student anywhere.
You can criticize Bill Ayers' position on education reform all you want. I don't care. That's fine.
But I'm saying he's not a respected professor.
My problem, he's respected enough that he's not treated like a terrorist. He's respected enough that Chicago made him Citizen of the Year in 1997. He's respected enough that the Chicago Tribune, one of the most conservative newspapers in the United States, says all of this is ridiculous to call him a terrorist. He's respected enough that Republicans and Democrats and Independents and Walter Annenberg, a very respected philanthropist who was an ambassador under Nixon and under Reagan, have treated him as a respected member of the community. Now, Barack Obama has had many associates in his political career,
and there's a whole list of ones that are very questionable.
He is associated with the Chamber of Commerce, he's associated with the Chicago Tribune. We might consider Barack Obama a right-wing conservative. The answer is this is a man who's part of Chicago, and if you're in Chicago, he's put on a board, and Barack Obama is put on a board. And to say and to suggest in any way, shape, I want to get a quote from you. I want you to agree with me.
Who solicited those funds from the Ehrenberg from the foundation and got it into the foundation that was going to do it? And then who launched Barack Obama's career in his own living room?
Launch his career in Obama's living room. These are the kinds of false statements that make your party look bad. When America is suffering under an incredible economy, your party is making lies.
I want to know why.
It's not true. Obama's career was launched at the Springfield.
It was launched in Ayers' living room. That was where he was introduced
Obama
as the next state senator.
Has had thousands, tens of thousands of fundraisers.
And where was the first one? It was in Bill Ayers' living room.
There was a reception for the outgoing state
where
senator.
She introduced
Barack Obama,
right.
And she chose the venue, and it happened to be Bill Ayers' room.
Mark, this is what I do for a living. These things don't happen by accident.
America is suffering. People have lost trillions of dollars, and your party is making up these vicious lies. Every single thing you've said, I can prove untrue.
Let me tell you how to do it.
Go to politcheck.org. Go to Congressional Quarterly, go to the New York Times, go to the Washington Post. Virtually everything Mike has said is absolutely false. Let me tell you what they do.
They try to manipulate it, okay?
Because, yes, this was a guy who was Chicago's Citizen of the Year in 1997. I want you to agree with me that Barack Obama is not a terrorist. Can you agree with me?
Absolutely not.
Barack Obama does not share any of Bill Ayers' radical terrorist views, right? None. Barack Obama does not ever believe in using violence against American domestic institutions.
I would concede there is no evidence at all that he goes that night.
So what? Now Barack Obama has met probably hundreds of thousands of people in the course of his campaign, and has probably been on worked with or had fundraisers with tens of thousands all across the nation. Okay, you found one who was rehabilitated in the 90s, and then in 2000 he apparently went back to being unrepentant. He's kind of crazy. And you're focusing your entire campaign not on the economy, not on the people that are suffering, not on what John McCain could do for America. Let's go past the break. We don't need a break. Not on what John McCain could do for America. Instead, John McCain is launching an entirely negative campaign based on this association. I want to show you what David Gergen
Let's see what David Gergen. I'll tell you why David Gergen's wrong.
Here we go.
This stock market being where it is, with people as scared as they are, they do not want to hear about Bill Ayers. They don't want to hear about Charles Keating, on the other side, on McCain's side. They really want to focus on the future. They want to know who's going to save their jobs.
You used to think they want to hear a positive message.
Oh, absolutely.
What if McCain just said, I am positive Obama is a terrorist?
He would get some headlines.
He would, okay.
But listen, I just want to make sure. Look. John McCain, down deep, in his heart, is a patriot, and he's a man of integrity.
Here's a preacher to the choir.
Do the honor of country. Do the honor of country. entrusted his campaign to elect control of the Bush White House, and out of that Republican tradition of recent years, unfortunately, which has gone into the very personal attacks.
You mean a winning tradition?
It has won.
It has won. Don't you go with a winner?
It has won and it's lost. It has not always won, but it has won at great expense to the what Republicans stand for and what their reputation is.
Okay, but does reputation in a campaign matter once you become president? Once you become president, don't you have like a clean slate and start over? How you campaign have anything to do with how you govern?
The months of the campaign are your first governing months. This is the ramp up to being president. And if you come out of these months with people having a lot of respect for you and feeling warmly about you and feeling you're a terrific person and they would like to follow you, you've got a much better chance of helping us get out of this mess. If you come out of it's in the advertising, it's in Sarah Palin. They've got Sarah Palin. They ought to rein her in. You know, they...
Why rein her in? I mean, she is the pit bull out there, right?
Well, that's right. But when she gets into these, when she gets started whipping her crowds up, yep. And people are yelling out there, and she starts talking about Obama, and they boo like crazy, mm-hmm. And then somebody shouts out, as they have, about Obama, terrorist. Mm-hmm. Somebody else yells out another rally, kill him. And another rally, they yell at racial epithets at a black cameraman. You need to rein that in. She needs to rein it in. He needs to rein it in. He is a better man than that. He has got a long record. He's got a good long record of that. He's engaged in. She has, in the old days, they used to call it rabble rousing. Mm-hmm. And today, I think some of her events mm-hmm. in recent days have gone over a line when they allow people to shout out and nothing is said. That's mm-hmm. what I object to.
Okay.
So I've got great confidence.
Is very clear. He's saying that Americans are suffering, stock market's falling, foreclosures are way high, people can't get loans in banks. And it seems to me, in the last 23 days of this election, your party thinks the most important thing for Americans isn't health care, foreclosures, the falling stock rate, the economy, the bailout bill, Wall Street. No, the most important thing is that Barack Obama once sat on the board 5 years ago with a guy who was repentant then but isn't repentant now, who did awful things 40 years ago.
Who bombed the Pentagon. Who bombed the U.S. Capitol,
40
who
years,
bombed the
right,
judge's house.
Right. You think that's the most important issue, is that Barack Obama sat on a board with
no.
this guy?
Here's the thing.
40 years after, I mean...
Barack Obama hasn't been adequately vetted. He's been given a free pass for this entire campaign. There are things about Barack Obama that we don't know, that if the American people knew these things, they would wonder, is Barack Obama really a guy who's qualified and ready to be president of the United States of America? And the answer is, if they knew everything about Barack Obama, which hasn't been vetted, which hasn't been told to America, the answer is they conclude that, no, he's not ready to be president of the United States.
See,
now, yes, we have problems, and we're talking about those
no,
problems.
You're not.
It's entirely
a negative campaign. And here's the thing.
You know,
if you want to go negative, there's so much negative on John McCain that Barack Obama's holding back on. This is a guy who was reprimanded by the Senate for ethics charges.
Certified innocent by an ethics committee. Certified innocent.
In the Keating 5 scandal, John McCain was the closest one to Charles Keating. He met with regulators. He tried to get them to call off. It cost the American people $3.4 billion. Barack Obama sits on a board with a guy who did awful things 40 years ago, gives some grants out. Your candidate caused Americans $3.4 billion in damage because of the corrupt Keating scandal. And that's not the only thing John McCain has done.
Let's talk about Keating, then you can go on to the other things that you're fabricating.
Because I don't want to go into all this negative stuff.
Let me quote Bob Bennett. Now, our viewers, I hope, know that Bob Bennett is a Democratic Party super lawyer. He's the guy who, you know, Mr. Fix-It on the Democratic Party. He was Bill Clinton's attorney when Bill Clinton needed an attorney. And he was his attorney for years and years and years. But he's a Democratic super lawyer. He was the counsel to the Ethics Committee back when the Keating Five were being investigated. And what he said was, you know, it never should have gotten to that. It should have been the Keating Three, except if it was the Keating Three, the Democrats felt all kinds of queasy that the three really, really guilty guys were all Democrats. So they insisted unfairly that John McCain get swept up in the whole thing, and so the Republicans then insisted unfairly that John Glenn be kept in the whole thing. So the Keating Three became the Keating Five for purely partisan political reasons. John McCain was certified innocent by the Ethics Committee. He was certified innocent by super lawyer and ethics counsel Bob Bennett. There is absolutely nothing. I'll debate Keating 5 with you all day long.
You can say what you
Bill
you
Ayers
can say what
is
you want,
a
Mike.
Much more important thing than
want,
the scandal
Mike.
Of the Keating,
you
know, 3.
You can
three.
Say what you want, Mike, except
it was all Democrats who were involved in that.
Say what you want. The Senate formally reprimanded John McCain. It cost the failing of Lincoln Savings because John McCain and other senators went in and told those regulators to lay off his big campaign donor, cost American taxpayers $3.4 billion. Now, Obama hasn't raised this because he wants
there's no connection
The failure of Lincoln Savings.
There's no connection.
Was $3.4 billion.
John McCain had nothing at all to do with the failure of Lincoln.
Sure he did.
Absolutely nothing.
You want to know why he did? Because he told the regulators to lay off.
It was Don Regal who caused the failure of the savings and loan.
It was Charles Keating.
Democratic senator from Michigan. That's who it was.
There were 5 senators who told the regulators to go
Two off. Of which should not have been hung up in the whole thing. John Glenn and John McCain were swept in for partisan political reasons.
DeConcini was there, too.
DeConcini was guilty as sin. Don Regal was guilty
as
sin.
And he's still there now. Here's my point. My point is that we can go on all day. If you want to talk about boards, we know that Paul Begala's brought up that John McCain sat on the board of an organization that the Anti-Defamation League calls anti-Semitic. Now, do I think John McCain's anti-Semitic? Of course not. But see, when all these people are on these different boards, I don't think that you can be judged by people who support
Mark,
you.
Let me ask
the Ku Klux
this.
Klan may endorse John McCain. That doesn't make
let
John McCain supporter of the Ku
if
Klux
you,
Klan.
If you were offered the chance to sit on a board with O.J. Simpson to do something good for education, would you do it or would you say, no, I choose not to sit on the board with O.J. Simpson?
I think O.J. Simpson is unrepentant. I think that Bill Ayers in 1997, okay, before he wrote that stuff after September 11th, he'd already been for 20 years. He turned himself in. He was treated as respectable by everyone in Chicago, including the right-wing people.
I don't think
Obama had the foresight to know that 4 years later that he would later on say awful things.
He was not treated as... You know who refused to treat him with respectability? Old Man Daley. You know, Mayor Daley of Chicago, the guy who loved the city, the guy who did everything for the city. That was who didn't treat him all that well.
See, here's
but
my
you know
point.
What? It was only when Mayor Daley went on and young Daley came in and resurrected the Daley machine that young Daley had the misjudgment to get involved with Bill Ayers and somehow try and really rehabilitate a guy who's not rehabilitable.
I think
this
it's,
is a guy
I think
who
it's
is truly
sad.
Bad. I wouldn't be caught in the same room with the
I
guy.
I think it's sad.
Much less sitting on a board with
I
him.
I think it's sad that that's party's all you got. And I think it's the reason why McCain's losing the
election.
No,
we got a lot more than that.
I think that Americans recognize.
Let's talk about the economy. I'd rather talk about the economy as Republicans would rather talk about. Let's move to the economy.
Well, okay. Let me give you another Republican. This is Congressman Joe Scarborough.
Former Congressman Joe Scarborough.
Now went on MSNBC.
Morning with Joe or
and
Coffee it, with
and
Joe.
And either
or
MSNBC
like that.
Changed him or he happened to see the light.
I think MSNBC changed him.
This is a congressman that I remember because I used to work on the House Judiciary Committee. Mm-hmm. He sat on the House Judiciary Committee, and at that time, he was supporting everything the Republicans supported. Let's hear what he says about your party these days. It's not complimentary.
Coffee with Joe, whatever.
You were a Republican congressman. Right. Help the man. Give him advice right now. What does McCain have to do?
It is, Stephen, and I'm serious about this. It's too late. And the reason
oh,
why...
Oh, come on.
Never say die.
Well, never say die.
And I talked about this before. The Republican Party inherited a $150 billion surplus. We've got a $500 billion debt this year, 8 years later. Inherited a $5 trillion debt, which was being paid down in 2000. Now it's a $10 trillion debt. Social Security and Medicare closer to bankruptcy than it was 8 years ago. Medicaid also going bankrupt. We've got a $1 trillion bailout right now because of what's been going on. The markets keep crashing. But when there was peace and prosperity, Stephen, you could talk about certain issues, but you can't at this point. You have to talk about the economy, and as long as the
Look
story is
MSNBC
the economy...
Look how MSNBC has changed you.
I know.
I mean, I watched you for the first 6 years of the Bush administration, and you went along with whatever that cat did.
I know.
And now you're down on the Republicans? I mean, they certainly haven't changed.
Well,
I have changed.
See? Even Congressman Joe Scarborough has changed.
He's not a Republican.
Well, I think he is a Republican.
Well,
I
he's
just
not
think
a Republican.
Your party moved away from him.
What he needs is he needs to keep his job with MSNBC, and he'll do what he needs to do to keep his job with MSNBC. Look, this guy's just a talking head, you know? I mean, let's talk about people who are in the trenches. Let's talk about the real economic things. You know, Joe Scarborough is up there talking about how the markets have already crashed. No, the stock market hasn't crashed. I mean, we're still limping along. It's not looking good. As you pointed out, we had a nice correction the other day, and it's going in the right direction now. But Mark, he's talking about the stock market. The stock market has not crashed. He's got no credibility.
But with the economy collapsing, your channel, the Republican propaganda channel.
The economy is not collapsing. The economy is not collapsing.
The economy is as bad as it's been since the Great Depression.
It is in decline.
It's not the Great Depression.
It is not collapsing. There's a difference.
We have never had this kind of financial crisis.
The economy is in decline. We have. The Great Depression
since
was much worse.
Since the Great Depression. Right.
But the economy,
I didn't say it's the Great Depression.
The economy
it's the
is
second
in decline.
Worst. Okay, but while the economy is in decline, the worst since the Great Depression.
As a result of Democratic policies, by the way.
That's so not true.
No. Oh, it is so totally true.
Regulation.
It is so totally true.
Here's my point. While it's doing this, your network, the Republican propaganda network, the Fox propaganda Republican channel, is playing Bill Ayers all the time.
Talking about.
Let's play that.
Since Tuesday's debate.
Barack Obama is ahead right now in many of the battleground states, the same states where investigations are underway for voter fraud. Is this a coincidence?
The issue of William Ayers, which now is, you know, in the minds and hearts of everybody here.
Have you seen the latest cover of Newsweek?
You see the wrinkles all over her face. That is the worst she could possibly look.
Newsweek is completely in the tank for
NBC.
Barack Obama.
Barack Obama, the president, sat in the pew of Jeremiah Wright for 20 years, a guy who hates America.
Deep secret ties between Obama and the Kenyan government.
Plus, country star Aaron Tippin, he will perform his hit, Drill Here, Drill Now.
It's that young man looking at Sarah Palin shot between her legs.
Did Barack Obama ever sit and meet with Louis Farrakhan?
Let's get back to the Bill Ayers thing.
Bill Ayers, of course, coming back to haunt Barack Obama.
The guy was at war with America.
This is ridiculous.
Bill, you might
it's
remember.
Ridiculous.
Would you remember
these questions
when you
have
met
been
a terrorist?
Asked. And
your candidate's friends with a terrorist.
Hey guys.
Obama.
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 So Obama clearly looks like the winner tonight. The key is not who they like. The key is who they're going to vote for.
Fox News. The world's unfair, and we are becoming mentally imbalanced.
Now, I got to thank Jon Stewart, of course, and Stephen Colbert of Comedy Central for these clips. But that's my point, and I'll give you plenty of time after the break. We're going to a break. But the heart of my point is, as America is suffering this economic disaster, which I agree is fixable, we can get out of it, all your party can seem to do is to try to make Barack Obama a terrorist. I want you to explain that and defend it, but we have to take a break. I'm going to give you absolutely...
Barack Obama
I'll let
is
you go
not
first.
A terrorist.
Thank you. I'm glad to hear you say that. We'll be right back, maybe with your phone calls, after the break.
Just books at the library.
Yeah, mine is. I knew the timing of this book.
There's more than just books at the library.
How's my hand doing? Am I getting outside the camera?
Yeah, punch me this way.
Excuse me.
There's more than just books at the library.
De livres à la bibliothèque.
Hello. You have a lot of great books here today. You know there's more than just books at the library.
I know.
There's more than just books at the library.
I don't want to be hooked to a machine.
I want all the medical treatment available to me.
I wouldn't want my family to have to make this decision.
My doctor knows what's best for me.
An advanced directive is your life on your terms. Talk with your family. Decide what's right for you. Then put it in writing.
Documenting my wishes today means my family won't have to make heart-wrenching decisions later.
To learn more, visit www.putitinwriting.org.
1,200 American youth run away from their homes every day. The National Runaway Switchboard is here to help. 1-800-RUNAWAY. If you are a runaway, Thinking about running away from home, or a parent or guardian concerned about issues facing your child, call us 24 hours a day. 1-800-RUNAWAY. In times of crisis, hope is just a phone call away. 1-800-RUNAWAY.
Here again, The Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to The Inside Scoop. I'm here with my guest, Mike Lane. He is the president of Intellifant Strategies. I'm trying to figure out why the Republican Party is imploding around him, but I want to encourage you to join the debate. As hot and heavy as it might get between Mike and me, we want you to join in and insert your opinion. You can agree with Mike or me or disagree with both of us. The number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Now, prior to the break, I was giving Mike a pretty hard time about his party. My argument is that with all the incredible economic implosion around us, with the greatest financial crisis since the Great Depression, all his party and their network, the Fox Propaganda Channel, can talk about is, while you admit that Obama's not a terrorist, you're saying, well, you know, years ago he was with a guy who was rehabilitated then, but not now, and that's the most important thing. Isn't your party going in exactly the wrong direction?
Look, first of all, the whole Ayers thing is getting Obama off message. If he really had nothing to hide here, why doesn't he just take 5 minutes, answer all the questions about his relationship?
He hasn't. He has repeatedly.
He refuses to take questions about Ayers.
That's not true.
Won't talk about it.
He talked to Bill O'Reilly. He talked to Sean Hannity.
Some guy in my neighborhood is quote unquote.
Well, it's not some guy in his neighborhood.
Why does his campaign consultant say that Barack is very friendly with him instead of saying,
he's very friendly with him. This is a guy.
He said they're friendly.
Who is a professor of education reform who did horrific things 40 years ago when Barack Obama was eight.
The point is
Obama has strongly condemned and that you agree with me, Obama doesn't agree with.
If he wants to take it off the table, he can hold a press conference and he can answer the questions as to what...
He doesn't need a press conference. He's answered it repeatedly.
Well, it's on the table, Mark, and if he refuses to...
He even talked about it with Bill O'Reilly. Right? I mean, that's your party's main attack dog.
No, Bill O'Reilly's an independent. He's not a Republican.
Bill O'Reilly is an independent.
Bill O'Reilly calls himself an independent.
The point is that people ask him about it, he answers these questions, and y'all bring it up again and again and again, and I think the reason you do is because you know that the Republicans got us into this mess. They got into this mess with this big, big deficit. They got in this mess with deregulating Wall Street. And now we're in this mess. Even Sarah Palin can't tell you anything John McCain has done to help us out of it. And so you want to change the subject.
All right. When the negotiations were falling apart, Mark, when everything was going down the tubes and there was going to be no rescue package, what happened? John McCain was the one who suspended his campaign, go back to Washington, do what he could with the Republicans to try and bring them on board. And what was Barack Obama's response? His response was, heck, they know my phone number. If they think I have anything I can contribute, they can call me. I mean, I can't think of anything as irresponsible as Barack Obama when it came to dealing with the financial crisis
Let's talk about how we got to the financial crisis.
I want to talk about how we got there.
Because it's a result of 40 years of failed Democratic policies.
I don't remember the Democrats saying that people on Wall Street should be able to earn whatever they want, hundreds of millions of dollars, as they run their company to the ground.
I seem to recall John McCain
repeatedly saying
that he wanted deregulation, that he wanted government out of people's lives, that he wanted Wall Street to do whatever they want with their complex derivatives.
John McCain was the one who tried to re-regulate Fannie Mac and Freddie Mae, and your ex-boss, get who? Barney Frank was the single guy who stood in his way and said, there's no way you're going to re-regulate these guys. They are providing too much of a service in by quadrupling, tripling, octupling the subprime market that got us into this whole thing. And Barney Frank led the charge on that.
First of all, your old boss. The Democratic Party, including Barney Frank, has always believed in regulating Wall Street.
They didn't want to regulate Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. They certainly did. They stopped John McCain when he tried to regulate them. John McCain co-sponsored the regulation. You want the facts on that, Mike? It got through the Senate committee.
I'll wait till you're done.
And it never made it to the Senate floor because, of course, we have this new rule that you need 60 votes to pass anything.
Right.
And the Democrats were not going to let re-regulation of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac pass.
Okay, that's false.
The fact. That's 2005 when that happened, when John McCain saw what was happening.
No, wait a minute.
2005, 3 years ago.
Who was in charge of Congress in 2005?
Wait, and we couldn't get 60 votes. I think I know this.
The Republicans!
Couldn't get 60 votes.
Let me tell you what the Democrats did.
We had a majority. We couldn't get 60 votes.
The Democrats did not want to give hundreds of billions in taxpayer dollars to Wall Street. Unfortunately, we had to do that because of your party. Let me tell you what the Democrats did. The Democrats took control, as you know, of Congress in 2007. Let me tell you what Barney Frank did. In January 31st of 2007.
Single man wrecking crew stopping single-handedly the regulation of Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae.
2007, Congressman Barney Frank becomes chairman of the House Financial Services Committee when the Democrats take over Congress. By May of that year, in 3 months, he not only gets a bill out of his committee, but the entire House passes a bill to regulate Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. The Democrats are in power 3 months, they're already regulating it, and John McCain joins in a filibuster in the Senate.
Not a very effective regulation.
The Senate didn't pass it because John McCain prevented it.
Mark, why are we in this?
You're just trying to rewrite history.
We're not going to let it happen. We're in this mess because of 40 years of Democrats trying to manipulate the market when they should let the market work in itself.
Mike.
Let's start with the Community Reinvestment Act.
Are you going to let me finish?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Then we'll tear it apart.
All right. Community Reinvestment Act, 1977.
Right.
Okay.
Jimmy Carter.
Right. Now.
Required banks to make bad loans.
And we've got a person on the phone.
Required banks to make bad loans, but
you haven't let me finish. So I'm going to finish what I'm going to say. 1977, the economy did not implode in 1977, or 78, or 79, or 80, or 81, or 82, or 83, or for 20 years.
Right.
So to blame the Community Reinvestment Act is a little strange. Instead, I think it's pretty obvious that during the 2000s, that's when these complex derivatives happened. That's when Republicans, in whether the Treasury Secretary or also your own friend Alan Greenspan, said, we don't need to regulate this. The market will regulate itself. John McCain agreed with him, said, we don't want to regulate this. We have $62 trillion tied up in these complex derivatives, and they don't want to regulate it. The Democrats consistently wanted to regulate it. And all I have to do, I could show you 50 clips, and I'll show you, where John McCain says he doesn't want to regulate
this stuff. Were Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac created? They were created by Democrats to manipulate and distort the market.
There's nothing wrong with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
Community Reinvestment back in 77, yes, it was a small step at the time.
It started us down the road to distortion. I'll tell you what's wrong with Freddie Mac.
It was 1995 when it was the Community Reinvestment Act that was major overhaul of it. That's when the whole thing started going south. No. That's when we started having the subprime market explosion.
You know when it went south?
Yeah, in 1995 was when the whole thing started. And it was just a matter of time before it exploded, and it exploded as a result of 40 years of failed Democratic policies that
finally came home to roost. I'll tell you when it failed.
George Bush tried to reform it in
2003.
John McCain tried to reform it in 2005.
That's not true.
And the Democrats, Barney Frank and Chris Dodd, blocked it at every...
Not every turn. It's simply false.
And your buddy now, Barack Obama was the one who took more money from Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac executives than anybody other than Chris Dodd over a 20-year period. But, he was only there for 3 years to take the second most money.
I can't get to my phone call because you said so many false statements.
Let's take a call.
I can't take the call. I got to show you all the clips where John McCain is against deregulation. I have 20 years of clips that show that John McCain doesn't want to regulate these markets.
Mark, you can select if we take anything out of context. Go ahead, take it all out of context.
It's not out of context.
It is totally out of context.
These are clips by John McCain where he doesn't want to regulate.
I think psychologically, and a lot of our problems today, as you know, are psychological, confidence, trust, uncertainty about our economic future, ability to keep our own home.
The one thing we have callers who are waiting.
Let's go ahead and get this.
We will get to the caller. I do want to say this though. When you're talking about the Community Reinvestment Act and everything like that, the real problem with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, they were government institutions and they were regulated by the government. The Republican Party insisted that they be private and insisted that their managers be rewarded even when they drive it into the ground. The Democrats tried very hard to prevent that. And now the sad thing is we have to renationalize the companies after all these Americans have lost their homes when they never should have been a private organization to begin with.
You know what?
Now I'll take the call.
All right, take the call. But we ought to talk later about Jamie Gerlach and Frank Raines and Jim Johnson.
You're going to blame Jamie Gerlach for everything.
No. Frank Raines pled guilty. Jim Johnson was there when the whole thing went south.
George, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Thank you for the opportunity. I just want Mr. Lane back to the time when terrorists were to destroy this country, and so are we.
Hang on a second, George. Your clip is very broken. Is it broken in the studio, too? Because, all right, we're not hearing you very well. I don't know why that is, George. I apologize. I do want to take your call. Tell you what, if you'll please just hang up and call back in again. I really want to hear what you have to say, but we're just not hearing you right now. So let's go on to Sean in Reston, if we can. Sean says she is an independent conservative, but she's disappointed with John McCain. I very much want to hear what she has to say. George, please call back, because I really want to hear from you. It's just that your clip is messed up. So we're going to get Sean on the phone, I hope. Okay. We have Sean here. I have to say, though, I think it's striking how, isn't your party the party against regulation? Isn't your party the party that doesn't believe
generally,
in government deregulation?
Yes, but when you created a government agency like Fannie Mae
it's
and Freddie
Mac. It's not a government
Mac,
agency. That's false.
It is. Well, it's quasi-government agency.
It's private. It used to be government. And the Republicans insisted that it be private.
But they're chartered by the government. And what is their charter? Their charter is to distort and manipulate the market, which is just the most ludicrous thing. It's a typical Democratic guy. Distort and manipulate the market is what it is.
For middle class and poor people.
It's to distort and manipulate the market. And that is crazy.
You know,
why do Democrats want to distort and manipulate markets?
Hundreds of thousands.
Help me out here, Mark.
Hundreds of thousands, I think actually millions of corporations are private corporations chartered by the government. So to say the problem with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac was actually that it became private. I think we have George working now. All right, George, please, go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you fine. Please, go ahead.
I just want to remind Mr. Lane that it was George Bush who said the terrorists are trying to destroy this country, and so are we. It appears he pretty much succeeded. But more important things now. This whole market meltdown. Nobody is discussing PMI in the last 30 years. If you had a mortgage, you had to have private mortgage insurance. They are the ones who should be paying the cost of the house, the bankruptcy problems with paying. The second thing that the media is not talking about is the fiduciary duty. This hedge fund managed $3 billion last year. Where's fiduciary responsibility? Where's the pursuit of that? But most importantly is this next upcoming issue that's going to be a problem in this election. And D.C. just recently reflected on that with the problem with the Sequoia voting machines. The same number came up repeatedly as an error in the counting of the votes. It's going to be the same thing. All those states where they're saying that there's voter fraud, the voting machines are going to be a problem.
George, I'm going to cut you off just because you bring up a number of different points, and I don't want to... each one will probably take Mike and me a good hour.
Let's do the abridged version.
But the first one is he's talking about sort of the fiduciary duties of all these people on Wall Street. Here it is. You and I have had this argument before. I have argued for years with you that golden parachutes should be illegal, that we should not reward people who make hundreds of millions of dollars as their companies fail. Now, Republicans, I want you to explain this to me because I believe you are a capitalist, yes?
I'm a capitalist.
Okay, I'm a capitalist too. I believe in a mixture of capitalism and socialism. Tell me this. Why would, under a good capitalist system, why would you give someone hundreds of millions of dollars to run a company into the ground? I think I could run a company into the ground for a mere $1 million.
And you should try it, Mark.
I really should. It's a very lucrative business.
You know that's not the way it works. And I'm not a supporter of golden parachutes.
Would you outlaw them?
No, I don't think the government has the right to outlaw them, but I think they're stupid.
You wouldn't have the right to outlaw them?
What interest is it of the government's how much somebody gets paid?
It's an interest to protect shareholders who have no right to vote their managers out.
Shareholders can protect themselves.
They can't.
Because
the way corporate boards work is they all go to the lowest common denominator, which happens to be in Delaware, and they have corporate structures that make it virtually impossible.
Well, then, you know what?
If you don't think your protections are good enough, then you
shouldn't buy shares in that company.
Well, you know what? The shareholders don't have any choice. Because
sure, they do. They don't have to buy shares. They can invest someplace else. They can buy CDs. They can invest in real estate. They can do whatever they want.
Every corporation in America does this. Now, all we have to do
Don't enter the stock market. That's fine.
All we have to do to protect capitalism, if we want to protect capitalism, is to regulate the markets so that people can go in and make sure that people aren't profiting from ruining things.
I'm not a fan of golden parachutes.
And you know what? If we outlaw them, then maybe, just maybe, we can make corporations a little bit like mom-and-pop stores. Mom-and-pop stores, if they make a bad business decision, they go out of business. corporations, if they make a bad business decision, not only do they make hundreds of millions of dollars, but they make you and me and every taxpayer in America pay for it.
No, they don't make...
I'm tired of that. I don't want to spend $1 trillion on people who made bad business
decisions.
You're
not spending it. It's not your money, and you have
no
right to...
It is my money.
No, it's not
your money. Dollars.
No, it's not tax. It's private corporation dollars.
It's not the bailout. It's taxpayer dollars.
Okay,
they messed up, and they're charging us for it.
The government policies got us into this mess, so government policies unfortunately have to give us a bridge to let the private sector get us out of this mess.
It was the failure of government to regulate the private industry that got us into this mess.
Before we go to Sean, help me out with one thing. I agree. The guys who got us into this mess should not get golden parachutes. They're apparently going to get them because their contracts were signed before the government money came in, et cetera, et cetera.
I would abolish them all.
So
I would outlaw them.
So why is it that we are rewarding...
I would throw them in jail.
Why is it we're rewarding the bums who got us into this mess by letting them have their golden parachutes, but yet the good people who are recruiting to save us from this mess are the people that we're screwing and tell them they can't be adequately compensated? Help me out with that one, Mark. I don't understand it.
I would abolish the golden parachutes. I would put these people in jail.
You don't have the right. You don't have the right.
Here's the thing. We had to get a compromise.
Not your corporation.
Okay? Your Republican Party voted down this bailout bill originally. And they did so because it didn't have enough pork in it.
You know what?
It didn't have enough pork in it.
No.
Only when they put $150 billion in pork to such very important issues.
First of all, it was $150 billion in tax breaks.
And children's wooden arrows. Yes, a tax break for makers of children's wooden arrows. I don't know who is in that district, but apparently it got some Republican.
It got the
pork.
The children's arrows, I'm sure, was a Democrat.
I got to tell you something. The Republicans voted against it. They larded it with $150 billion in pork, and suddenly your party loves it because your party believes in big government spending on big corporations.
If Speaker Pelosi had done her job and gotten the votes to pass the legislation in the first place, we wouldn't have had to come back.
It was your party that voted down. No. And you know why they voted
Speaker
down?
Speaker Pelosi could have passed that if she had done her job. She's the most failed speaker in the history of the United States
Congress.
A quote
from Kevin Smith, an aide to John Boehner, the minority leader, the most powerful Republican in the House, said that the reason why they didn't pass the bailout bill... because they couldn't agree with the Democrats when John McCain was suspending his campaign to come in. They had to give him something to do.
The Democrats wouldn't give the Republicans the time of day. They didn't include them in the negotiations.
Let me go to Sean from Reston. Sean, welcome to the very contentious Inside Scoop.
Hey, thanks. I just wanted to say I'm disappointed in the way the Republican Party is running their campaign. Just because of the simple fact that they're kind of staying away from the real issues here, and I don't think either party has a clear idea of how to get us out of the mess we're in, but at the same time, how else are voters going to decide, you know, how they're going to vote if nobody actually addresses the issues that are affecting the country? So now we're attacking each other's character, we're going back to school, age, friends, schools, I mean, names, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, people are saying Obama's a terrorist because his middle name is Hussein.
Right.
But what about Timothy McVeigh? Timothy is the most American name we could have. I mean, so...
Sean, I don't know anybody who's saying Barack Obama's a terrorist, and
Sarah Palin.
Sarah Palin never said that, implied it, never anything.
Of course she implied it.
She said he's palling around with Bill Ayers, who's an unrepentant terrorist. That's not calling Barack Obama a terrorist.
When she said it.
People are known by the company they keep, Mark, and he's not keeping very good company.
Mike, when she said it.
You got Reverend Jeremiah Wright.
Mike.
You got Tony Rezga.
Mike, when she said it.
You got Bill Ayers.
When she said it.
But she implied by saying pal around.
No, she didn't.
I think she did too, Sean. I'll tell you
this. No, Sean, you're wrong. You're dead wrong.
I think you're absolutely right, Sean. And here's how you know that she meant to do it. The reason you know it is because when Sarah Palin said it, people in the crowd shouted out terrorists.
And she didn't
nodded.
Say anything.
People shouted
she
out.
She did not nod. People, find me the clip where she nodded.
People,
she did not nod. Absolutely not. Find me the clip. It doesn't exist.
People shouted out, kill him. And she didn't say no.
Exactly.
You know for a fact she heard this.
I know that John
McCain. You're sitting there, you have a crowd of 25,000 people, and you hear everything every heckler mentions any place. Come on, Mark. Let's maintain some credibility here.
I know John McCain.
Let's maintain some credibility.
He gave a grimace. And here's the thing. It's interesting.
Exactly.
Only after respected people like David Gergen and other Republicans came and said, John McCain, cut this out. David Gergen is not a respected Republican.
David Gergen is not a Republican.
He's not a Democrat. He's an independent. He's worked for both
parties.
Well,
then don't call him a Republican.
Well, he used to be a Republican. He worked for, he's actually a fairly conservative independent, and he's someone who said he has respect for John McCain. And he's saying that John McCain is too good for this. I mean, I don't know if our viewers caught the entire clip. I can play it again because I
as long as we've got
the beginning. But the heart of it is this: when people finally started to complain, when John Lewis, civil rights leader, said, "You know what? This is reminding us of a George Wallace rally," because George Wallace doesn't have to say someone's a terrorist, but he rebels up the crowd. You saw that angry crowd.
Okay, now you've got guilt by association. That's the most despicable. Come on.
No, wait. You're Mr. Guilt by Association.
That is not the case.
Democratic rallies.
It's not the case.
Are filled with hopeful, happy people, optimistic about the future.
Oh, please.
Republican rallies are filled with hate
Democrats,
and fear.
You know,
your entire party is down to hate and fear, and it's not going to work.
I'm working festivals every single weekend, and I can tell you the most angry, intolerant people out there are Obama Democratic supporters. They are angry, they are intolerant, and they just don't get it. Now, if Sean wants to tell us what issues she thinks John McCain has not been addressing, I'll answer them for her.
I think we lost Sean. Here's the thing. You know, at the end of the day, I think Americans have had enough of hate and fear. They've had enough of Caldwell.
And so the Democrats ought to stop it.
Swift boating.
Because, you know what? The hate and fear in that commercial on health care is about as hateful and as fearful as I can. It's a flat out lie, Mark, and you know it. It's a flat out lie.
It's not a lie that John McCain wants to raise taxes, and he does. He will raise taxes.
Let's talk about it.
But here's the thing.
Let's talk about how Barack Obama is lying.
Stop trying to change the subject.
No, I want to. You said hate and fear. I'm going to tell you where Barack Obama is running a fear-mongering hate campaign.
Mike, let's agree with something here. Let me try, because I think our listeners understand that disagreeing with someone on a matter of policy is very different from revving up crowds to shout "kill him" and "terrorist" and racial epithets.
No one is revving up crowds to do that, Mark. Come on.
And to do so consistently and you.
I flat out reject every assertion you're making. It's flatly not true.
And Fox News going on, he's a terrorist.
It's flatly not true, Mark, and you know it.
If you want to disagree on politics, let's disagree on politics. We'll talk about McCain's health care plan. Let's talk about it right now. But you cross the line when you start saying, oh, Obama's not patriotic because he doesn't wear a flag.
I don't know anybody who said he wasn't patriotic. You tell me one Republican who said he wasn't patriotic.
There's a whole host of them on Fox News, right? Your channel.
They're journalists, Mark. They're not Republicans.
They're not journalists.
Okay?
They're Roger Ailes. Republican runs Fox News. Please don't call Fox News journalists. That's an insult to journalists.
And Roger Ailes said Barack Obama was not patriotic, quote unquote. I never heard it. If you can find me the clip, I'd like to see it.
I'll show you the Fox News network.
I did not see Roger Ailes say that.
It doesn't matter. His network is packed with people who say those things. The same way that Sarah Palin says, he's prowling around with terrorists.
He is.
And
he is.
Yeah, when's the last time he talked to William Ayers?
I would not be surprised if it was yesterday or this
morning. Well, you're wrong. He hasn't talked to him since he's been in the Senate.
I doubt that very much.
Well, Obama has said that. Are you saying he's lying about it?
Obama is disingenuous about a lot of this campaign.
Here you're telling Obama. You're telling Obama he has to confront these issues. You're telling Obama he has to confront the issues. He has said that he hasn't said a word to William Ayers ever since he's been in the Senate, except for one chance meeting in a park, because, yes, he's a guy in the neighborhood.
I doubt that.
He's answered the question.
I doubt that.
Well, you can doubt it all you want, but it's simply false.
He says it's a guy in my neighborhood, but yet his campaign consultant says, no, they're friendly. You can't be friendly and not talk to somebody for 4 years, Mark. It doesn't work that way.
Well, but
why
they're
did the
not.
Campaign?
They were friendly 10
why
years ago.
Why did the campaign? No,
they were on the same board together.
They asked him what was the current relationship, and he said they're friendly. This is the campaign spokesman
speaking about this.
He said they were friendly.
Well, they met in a park once.
Well,
because apparently they live in the same neighborhood.
If Obama's going to be disingenuous about his relationship with that,
we haven't answered Sean's question about because your party is consistently talking about the negative attacks. We haven't talked about what the candidates will do. So I will answer your question, Sean, and then I'll give Mike a chance to do so too. Let me tell you what Barack Obama and a Democratic Congress—you need both—would do to help the nation's. First of all, we've got to bail out. Unfortunately, we have a liquidity problem. Because of the financial markets, because Republicans for the last 30 years have been against regulating, we have allowed some very rich people to get away with a lot of greed. And the way it worked was the risks involved would reward people who took really strong risks. And so they would take these great risks, and then they would get lots of money, and you, the taxpayer, would be on the charge. So once the Democrats get into power, one thing they're going to do is they're going to make bankruptcy judges be able to reduce mortgages so that people can stay in their homes, which actually helps banks and the people. There's a stimulus package that the Democrats support that the Republicans are against. The stimulus package is geared to the middle class, whereas John McCain has tax cuts geared to the super wealthy and to corporations. Under John McCain, ExxonMobil gets $4 billion, and CEOs, the average CEO, gets $700,000. Barack Obama, instead, is reaching out to 95% of working families. With the fiscal stimulus and the monetary stimulus, we will get out of this George Bush-created recession. What's the Republican plan?
Okay. When you have 40 years of failed Democratic policies that bring us into this particular situation that we came into with a intentional distortion and manipulation of the markets, the government does unfortunately have a role in creating a bridge to get us out of this so the private sector can take back over. What I would do is, the first thing is Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, they go away. Their sole purpose in life is to distort and manipulate the market and make sure that people who otherwise wouldn't get a mortgage because they're not qualified to have a mortgage, make sure they get one. Well, when you give a mortgage to somebody who can't afford it, what happens? Guess what? They default. You put enough of them together and you wind up with this mess that is cascading and giving us the problems that we have now. So you make Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac go away. That's number one. You have the government stop distorting the market and manipulating the market. That's number two. Now, what John McCain has proposed is that instead of letting people play roulette, you know, legal roulette in court, where you have these judges who might do something that they really have no business doing, how can a judge just set aside a contract? Let the government buy out these non-performing mortgages the way John McCain has proposed, $300 billion that he's allocating out of the bailout package to do this, and then let the government negotiate with these people to ensure that they will be able to stay in their homes by negotiating with them a rate that they'll be able to pay. You clean up the mortgage mess, that's step one in terms of then starting to clean up the rest of the financial mess, which is dragging us down.
So here's the difference between Obama's plan and McCain's plan. It's a crucial difference, okay?
The crucial difference is
you're
playing legal roulette.
Oh, no, it's roulette. Here's the difference. John McCain thinks that the government should step in, bail out the corporations who made these stupid...
Let me finish. The people, not the corporations.
The taxpayers, you and me and everyone watching this program, has to pay hundreds of billions of dollars so that the CEOs who made this mess don't lose a dime. You know what Obama's plan is? Using bankruptcy judges, you know who gets hurt? The banks get hurt who made these loans to begin with. And they don't get hurt as badly as they would for foreclosure. It's a great plan. Now, let me explain.
The banks were required by the Community Reinvestment Act to make these bad loans. It was a requirement of the act that they make bad loans. Why are you going to punish a corporation that was following the law that the Democrats passed?
There was no legal requirement.
It required them to make bad loans.
That is false.
A subprime loan, by definition, is a bad loan.
Here's my proof.
It required them to make percentage of subprime loans.
Here's my proof. It's very simple. The Community Reinvestment Act banks, I'll have you know, on average, look at the statistics, they are not in foreclosure. They made better loans. They are all stronger. I will show you statistics. I'll put it on my website.
Right, because they dumped them off and let Freddie Mae and Fannie Mae securitize them. They dumped off the bad ones, Mark. They got them out of their portfolio. Exactly.
And allowed poor people to get homes they're doing better.
Get them out of their portfolio.
Part of the difference between the Obama and the McCain plan is that Obama would prevent bank foreclosures, people would stay in their homes, and the people that would suffer is the banks who made the bad loans themselves, but they wouldn't suffer as badly as they would with foreclosure. John McCain wants you to pay. He wants all of you to pay. We've doubled our deficit. He would triple our deficit just so the middle class has to pay for the greedy people on Wall Street. That's why Obama's ahead 10 points in the polls. That's why Barack Obama's going to be the next president of the United States. That's why the Democrats are going to get very close to a 60 people
Things are moving pretty fast. You know, when we started the show about 58 minutes.
We started the show
58 minutes ago, it was 6 to 8 points in the polls. By the end of the show, it's 10 points
in the
polls.
It is under Washington Post.
Okay, look.
The time is over. I hope you enjoyed the show.
John McCain plan is the only way to make it work.
More about the Inside Scoop at RadioInsideScoop.com.